إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 8th session from the book Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya by Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan hafidhahullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. And our topic, yani, is dealing with the character and morals of the Prophets alayhim as-salam. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in our 8th session, we like to take one or two more of those characteristics that the Shaykh hafidhahullah has mentioned concerning the characteristics of the Prophets that should be taken as a model and an example to be followed. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq, yani, to recognize and to appreciate the greatness of these characteristics and qualities of the Prophets, and that there is a place in our heart that encourages us and that is inclined towards taking the Prophets and the Messengers alayhim as-salam in their character as a model and example for each and every one of us individually, and for us, yani, collectively as the jama'ah and as a ummah bi-idhnihi ta'ala. Before we go into the topic or our characteristics that we want to mention from the Prophet ﷺ for tonight, we want to first review quickly the questions that we had from the last session, from questionnaire study guide number 7. The first question being, give a comprehensive definition of ash-shukra, gratitude, like the one given by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. Comprehensive definition of ash-shukra. Naam, Ahmed. Naam, naam, tayyib. Meaning?
Meaning that his appearance, the sign of the blessing of Allah, on the tongue of the slave, and on and in his heart, and on his limbs.
Naam, zuhur athri ni'matillah ala lisani abdihi. Yani that the effect, the trace of the ni'mah of Allah appear, be visible on the tongue of the abd. And the Shaykh, he gave some definition to each one of these points: on the tongue of the abd, on the heart of the abd, and on the limbs of the abd. And he said, if anybody remembers, naam, ala lisani abdihi, naam, Jamil? Remembrance of Allah, acknowledging the bounty of Allah, yani, thana'an wa i'tirafan. And on the qalb, the heart of the abd, in which way he said? Anybody? Naam, Musa? Shuhuran wa mahabbatan. Shuhuran, shahudan wa mahabbatan. Shahudan. That the heart actually acknowledge, witness, the heart witnesses, yani, the ni'mah of Allah, and also, yani, manifest love because of this ni'mah of Allah upon the abd. وَعَلَى جَوَارِحِهِ يعني on the limbs of the body. In which way? Somebody else. نعم, Abu Jamil. Is the last part? I'm sorry, Abu Jamil. Abu Sa'id. Yeah, I'm a little bit tired. Pardon me. MashaAllah. In obedience to Allah. يعني انقياداً وطاعةً. انقياداً وطاعةً. This is a very, very beautiful definition. And some of the other scholars gave other definitions that are pretty much contained here. يعني some of them saying that shukra is what? directing, utilizing the ni'mah of Allah in the way that's pleasing to the one who has given it, or for the purpose for which it was created for. And others said that, and speaking about it also, and others said what? That it is, yani the shukra may be also entailed in what? Anybody remember other definitions? Yani?
Using the ni'mah that Allah has given you to please Allah.
Using the ni'mah to please Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. Anything else? Naam. To acknowledge and recognize the favor, the ni'mah, the in'am of the mun'im. To acknowledge and recognize it in a way, in a manner, yani that reflects humility and submission and obedience. And speaking about it, na'am, to the one who it is given, or to recognize the ihsan of the muhsin, yani recognition of this, acknowledgement of it, yani in one's life, na'am. And these are some of the definitions that are similar one to another. That show yani the greatness and the magnitude and the importance of an ni'mah, yani shukr al-ni'mah, being grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second question, complete Allah's description of Nuh alayhi salam, innahu kana, yani indeed he was, yani as mentioned in surah, in the Quran, the 17th surah, 3rd ayat, yani how did Allah describe Nuh in this ayat? Now, Naam, ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَا نُوحٍ, yani the beginning of the ayat, he said, like this is addressed to who? The descendants of those who were carried on the safina, on the ship with Nuh alayhi salam. And he said, and then he mentioned the description of Nuh alayhi salam, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. And indeed he was what? A grateful slave, servant, worshipper. Yani indeed, al-abd, yani the kalima abd, it could mean slave, servant. And here, in this context, the more specific meaning of it, abd is from ibadah, yani the worshipper, the grateful worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, in the tafsir of this ayat, just briefly, some of the scholars said that, yani Nuh, he was given this name as the abd shakur. Why? Because he used to, and Ibn Kathir mentions what? That he used to praise Allah for his food and his drink and his clothing and all of his affairs. And for this reason, he was called Abdan Shakura. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di also mentions concerning this ayat, that in this ayat there is praise of Nuh alayhi salam. Yani praise of him for what? Because of him fulfilling the obligation of showing gratitude for the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also an encouragement for those of the human beings or his descendants, yani for the whole of humanity, a reminder to them that they might, or an encouragement to them that they might follow him, follow his path in being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it also should be a reminder to each one of us, to every human being, of the favor of Allah upon them. And some of them said, yani the favor of Allah be upon them, as Ibn Kathir mentions, in the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And others said, yani in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed the rest of the people, and he allowed some people to remain. And indeed, yani for every favor and blessing and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that yani is seen or not seen. And the third question, mentioned Allah's description of Ibrahim alayhi salam as being grateful in Surah An-Nahl, 16th surah, 120th, or more specifically 121st ayat. Yani the description of Ibrahim alayhi salam as being grateful. Naam, Abdullah. Okay, from the descriptions that came before his description of being grateful, he said, yani from amongst them, that he wasn't from the people that associated partners with Allah. Naam. Jayid, mashallah. He gave all of these descriptions. Yani the first of them, that indeed Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was an ummah. And the scholars gave a lot of definitions for this. And the most important meaning of it, that he was an imam, a leader of khair, a teacher of khair, teaching the people their deen and so on. Qanitan lillahi, that he was what? Constantly in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hanifan. Hanifan. Yani upright, turning towards Allah, directing yani himself directly towards Allah, towards Tawheed. Walam yakun min al-mushrikeen, that he wasn't from amongst the people who worship. others along with Allah. And then he said, Shakiran li'an'umihi. Shakiran li'an'umihi. Meaning that he was what? Grateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him many favors in this world. Al-hasana, every kind of hasana, zahir wal-batina, that which is visible and that which is not visible in the deen and in the dunya. And he fulfilled the obligation of showing gratitude for those favors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of shakiran li'an'umihi, that he was grateful. He fulfilled the obligation of showing gratitude for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the end of the ayat, he said what? Ijtabahu wa hadahu ila sirat al-mustaqim. That Allah has selected him, chosen him specifically, and guided him to the straight path. And we discuss some of the meanings that the scholars said concerning these other characteristics. But the important one is what? That he was shakiran. He was one who fulfilled the obligation of showing gratitude for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fulfilled that obligation. And the fourth question, memorize the supplication of Sulaiman alayhi salam, asking Allah to enable him to be grateful for his favors. In the 27th surah, 19th ayat. Naam, Ahmed.
Naam.
Naam. The meaning of this ayat, he said,
O my Lord, will you give me power so that I may be thankful for your blessings upon me and upon my parents, and for righteous good worship,
and to do righteous deeds. Now, and in this supplication, the scholars say that he is asking Allah, O Allah, yani awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayhi wa ala walidayhi. And he place in my heart, inspire me, motivate me, enable me, give me the ability to be grateful. He is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq to fulfill the obligation of gratitude. He's asking, a Prophet of Allah alayhi salam, he's asking Allah, grant me the ability, inspire in my heart, place in my heart an inclination and a desire to fulfill the obligation of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favors that you have placed upon me and upon my parents. And the important thing here is what? Is the note that the Prophet alayhi salam, he is asking Allah to help him, to assist him, to enable him, to give him the ability to fulfill this obligation. How much more are we in need of asking Allah to enable us to fulfill this obligation of being grateful for all of his favors, those which are in our deen and those which are in our dunya, those which are seen and those which are not seen, those which we might see as being significant and those which we might see as being insignificant, though all of it is significant as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And question number 5, mention the great favor of Allah upon Musa alayhi salam, for which he commanded him to be grateful in the 7th surah, 144th ayat. Yani what is the great favor of Allah upon Musa which he commanded him to be grateful for? Naam, Musa. Naam, meaning? And, O Musa, indeed I have chosen you over the rest of people, over the rest of humanity. Naam. With my messages and with my words. So take that which I have given you. Wakun. And be from amongst those who are grateful, who are thankful. And be from amongst, take what I have given you, and be amongst those who are grateful, who are thankful, who appreciate. So what was the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayat, or is understood from this ayat? What is the great favor of Allah to give to Musa? He has chosen Musa, he has chosen him, selected him, naam, made, singled him out. With what? Birisalati, with my messages. وَبِكَلَامِي, and with my speech. Meaning, the favor that he has given to him, he has and he given him the risala, nubuwa, messengership and prophethood, and wahi, revelation, and kalam, and munajat, that Allah spoke to him with speech directly, without bila wasita, without any intermediary between them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him intimately, privately, specially, particularly, directly. And these are all great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prophethood, messengership, revelation, speaking to him directly, speech direct with between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Musa alayhi salam. And for this reason, Musa was known amongst the prophets as Kalimullah, yani the one who Allah spoke to directly, a special favor that was given to him specifically. specifically alayhi salam. And the last question memorized the response of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the fact that his sins are all forgiven. What was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Naam, Abdullah. Shouldn't I be a grateful slave? What is the context of this statement from the Prophet? What is the context of it? Now, Siddiq? He used to pray all night until his feet were swelling up from standing for hours and hours and hours. Now, 3 and 4 or 5 and 6 hours of the night. Yani 1/3 of the night or 2/3 of the night or half of the night. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning him in Surah to what? Muzammil. Naam. So he was standing in the night and the people said to him, or it was said to him, why are you doing all of this? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Well, Allah has already forgiven you your sins that pass and that which is to come. Allah has already forgiven you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not then, and if He has given me all of this, shouldn't I then be a grateful worshipper? Should I not then be a grateful? Meaning, if Allah has given me favors, that's all the more reason why I have to show my gratitude. This is really a tremendous message from the Prophet ﷺ in this answer to this question. The question is a logical question. Since Allah has already forgiven you all of your sins, past and present, why are you just standing at night like this, hours and hours and hours? You're not in need of that. But the answer is no, it's not that I am in need or not in need. That's not the point. The point is that Allah has favored me, and it's incumbent then to respond to that favor by fulfilling the obligation of the favor of Allah. The obligation towards it is what? As shukr. And this topic is a tremendous topic. May Allah yani open our hearts to it and enable us to retain the meaning and significance and essence of it so that we may act upon it in our daily lives. In our daily lives. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about the next characteristic, the fifth characteristic that the Shaykh mentions, Musara'atuhum alayhi wassalam fil khayrat. And indeed, this is a timely topic. It was part of the subject from last week, but we didn't reach it. And tonight it came yani, timely by Allah's decree. Allah is the one who yani, has decided everything, how it will be and when it will be, and so on. So the topic that we want to start with tonight is Musara'atuhum. Musara'atuhum alayhim salam fil khayrat. Yani, the hastening of the prophets and messengers alayhim salam in doing good deeds. They are hastening, yani, without delay, in doing good deeds. يعني خيرات القولية والفعلية والمالية والبدنية والمتعدية وغير متعدية. يعني in every type of خير, whether it is خير that entails speech or actions related to the body or one's wealth, that which يعني is exclusive to oneself or that benefits others, all of these, all these and all of these categories come under the word الخير والخيرات. So from the characteristics, yani the moral character traits of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, annahum asra'u an-nasi fi fi'li al-khayrat, that they are the quickest, the fastest of all people in doing good deeds. So they are our example, meaning that we have to try to be yani a little bit more responsive, without delay, without hesitance, as the Prophet was, whenever the opportunity to do khair comes to us. And the opportunity is upon us tonight, as we have entered into the first night of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Those days in which the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ العمل الصالح فيهن أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام. يعني عشر ذو الحجة. That there are no days in which good deeds done in them are more beloved to Allah than in these days, the first 10 days of ذو الحجة. There are no days in the whole year in which a person may do good deeds that will be more beloved than doing good deeds in these 10 days. Wallahi, this is an opportunity. Whoever lets it pass them by, they are indeed mahroom. They have been deprived. Day and night, a person should be engaged in whatever good they can do in refraining from evil, and so on to the end of what the scholars have said concerning this tremendous, tremendous hadith. It is upon us now, as we discuss this topic of hastening to do good deeds. Don't delay. فَهُمْ لَا يَتَوَانُونَ عَنْ فِعْلِ الْخَيْرِ. They did not hesitate hold back, postpone the doing of good. They didn't say, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it in the morning, I'll do it next week, or next month, or next year. But they hastened to do it without delay. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَحَبًا. Yani, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that indeed they, meaning the prophets and messengers, even though this ayah came in reference, yani, after the mention of Zakariya, but it's talking about the prophets, who are all of them who are mentioned in this tremendous surah, Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st surah, and in this ayah 90, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ. They used to hasten, they used to be quick, fast, fil khayrat, in doing good, and they used to call upon us, desiring, yani, what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fearing what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of punishment. And the Shaykh, he says, وَنَبِيُّنَا مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And our Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said, and I am the first of the Muslims. And this is in the 6th surah, Surah Al-An'am, 163rd ayat, that I am the first of the Muslims. And Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, I just want to mention this, and the first of the Muslims meaning what? That he is the first one to respond, quickly and hastily, without hesitation or delay. But Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says concerning this ayat, in case there's some confusion, that I am the first of the Muslims, some people might imagine there were no Muslims before the Prophet Muhammad. And Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says, قَالَ قَتَادَ رَحِمَهُ قَتَادَ said, أي أول المسلمين من هذه الأمة. يعني I'm the first of those to submit and surrender to Allah from this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he was, كما قال فإن جميع, and he was, يعني the first of, يعني the people to surrender of this ummah, as he said, but not the first Muslim in the earth. For indeed, جميع الأنبياء قبله قل لهم كانت دعوتهم إلى الإسلام وأصله عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له. يعني because indeed all of the prophets before him, every single one of them, their da'wah, their call was to Islam. Every single one of them was a Muslim. And the asl of this Islam, يعني the root of it, the asl of it, the core of it, is the worship of Allah alone, without associating any partner with him. All the prophets called to this. This was the deen of every prophet. That is al-Islam. Submission to Allah alone. Submission to Allah alone. After this, the Shaykh goes back to Surah Al-Anbiya and mentions the full ayat of Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 89 and 90. Ayat 89 and 90 concerning wa Zakariya alayhi salam, qala Allah ta'ala anhu, وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ. يعني, and remember Zakariya, when he called upon his Rabb, when he called out to his Rabb, رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْضًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Oh my Rabb, don't leave me singular, يعني childless. At that time he didn't have any children. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And you are the best of those to inherit. يعني who will, يعني be there after I am gone. Allah is the best one to take care of everything, to maintain the matter. But Zakariya wanted some offspring, somebody who would come behind him and carry the message and call the people as he had done. Rabbi, la tadharni fardan wa anta khayru warithin. Don't leave me single without a child, and you indeed, no doubt, are the best of the inheritors. Fastajabna lahu wa wahabna lahu Yahya wa aslahna lahu zawjahu. So we have responded to him, to his request, and we have gifted him with a son, Yahya alayhi salam, and we have, yani, aslahna lahu zawjahu, and we have, yani, made whole his wife, and he made her, who had not borne any child, to bear a child for him. Innahum, yani, Zakariya and the prophets before him, and those that I mentioned before him, innahum kanu yusari'una fil khayrat. Indeed, they used to hasten in the doing of khayrat, all kinds of good in speech and action. Physically, financially, openly, and secretly. That which, yani, benefits oneself alone, and that which benefits others. Naam. Yani, there is some worship that is excellent. Like in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, there is some worship that's excellent. Maybe some better than others. Some of them are exclusive to the individual. Like a person fasting 9 days from Dhul Hijjah, not, of course, the 10th day, the day of Eid. But that benefits you individually. But what about giving charity? That benefits you and it also benefits others. And we have to think about the worship that is not يعني exclusive to ourselves, but rather also benefits others. إنهم كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات. They used to hasten in doing good. ويدعوننا رغبا ورهبا. And they used to call upon us رغبا, having hope for that which is with us of good and reward. ورهبا, fear of that which is with us of punishment. وكانوا لنا خاشعين. And they used to be before us humble, يعني humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayat is a tremendous ayat, and actually it does يعني require some discussion. I'm not going to mention too much of it, only because for the sake of time. But يعني I do want to mention one thing. Al-Imam Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he says in the tafsir of this ayat, Surah Al-Anbiya 21:89-90, he says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the prophets and the messengers, each one of them individually, yani before this ayat, then he praised them generally by saying, yani not exclusively to Zakariya, but the prophets generally by saying, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. They used to hasten in the doing of good. Yani in doing actions of qurubat, things that bring you nearness to near to Allah, and doing actions of obedience, as Ibn Kathir says, yani qurubat wal ta'at. They used to do all of these things. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, in his tafsir of this, yani they used to hasten in doing of good, he says, and he mentions three things, and this is very important, that we sometimes yani look beyond the general meaning of the words of the Quran or in the Sunnah, and try to see the detail of them, what they consist of, so that we act upon these things in a better and a more perfect way. يسارعون في الخيرات. As-Sa'adi rahimahullah says, أَيُبَادِرُونَ إِلَيْهَا وَيَفَعْلُونَهَا فِي أَوْقَاتِهَا الْفَاضِلَةِ. That they used to hasten to do them, and they used to perform them in their preferable times. Not at your time when you feel like it, but at the time that Allah prefers it. Like now, these 10 days is the time that Allah prefers it. These are the most beloved days that Allah loves good deeds done in them. So not up to you that I want to do it in this time or the other. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to hasten to do those deeds in their preferred times. And secondly, وَيُكْمِلُونَهَا عَلَى الْوَجْءَ اللَّيْكَ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي. And they used to complete and perfect them in the manner that is appropriate and befitting and suitable. Not just any kind of way, doing a good deed, but doing it in the best way that is befitting of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in offering worship to His Rabb. And the third thing, وَلَا يَتْرُكُونَ فَضِيلَةً يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا أَن تَحَزُوا الْفُرْصَ فِيهَا. And they never used to abandon doing a virtuous deed that they were able to do, except that they took advantage of every opportunity. Yani sometimes we have a chance, we have the ability to do something, we let it pass us by. They didn't used to do so. Hastening, it means, number one, first and foremost, to do those things in their preferred times, to do them in the most perfect and best manner of performance, and not to leave off any opportunity of doing a virtuous deed that's pleasing to Allah that we have the ability to do. Naam. And after this, I go back to the Shaykh's comments in the book. After mentioning this ayah, he said, وَلِهَذَا حَفَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى الْمُسَارَعَ وَالْمُسَابَقَ إِلَى فِعْلِ الْخَيْرِ. And for this reason, yani because this is the model and the example of the best of humanity, the people who have the highest level of being raised up of loftiness, that is the people of Iman and the people of Ilm, the prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam, the best of humanity, the best example for to be taken as a model and example in character, manners, and morals. For this reason that we found that they used to hasten in doing good, for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani because of this quality and the benefits of it and its virtuousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encouraged everyone with al-musara, hastening to do good, and al-musabaqa, competing with one another or racing against one another in doing khair. Hastening and competing with one another. Naam. You have a brother or sister who does a lot of good, compete with them. Compete with them in doing good. Try to do more. Wasn't that the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar? They used to compete with one another. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he never gave up. Even if he saw that he couldn't outdo Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, But he competed. And that's the thing. The spirit is what? That even if somebody outdoes you, don't give up. Competition in doing good is beneficial. Even if you come in second place, or third place, or fourth place. If it is competition in doing good, you win every time. You win every time. If you're doing it for the sake of Allah in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 21st Ayat, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Yani race, compete with one another in seeking the forgiveness of your Rabb. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا كَأَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Hasten, race with one another in seeking the forgiveness of your Rabb, and a Jannah, a paradise, whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, that has been prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. And that is the fadl of Allah. And a Jannah is not something that anyone can earn. It's not something that anyone can earn. But rather, due to good deeds done sincerely for the sake of Allah, a person may earn the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah, and His favor, yani His fadl, of entering the Jannah. Hasten with one another in doing and seeking the forgiveness of your Rabb and the Jannah, whose width is as the heavens and the earth. And he follows it with the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 133rd ayat, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Yani وَسَابِقُوا وَسَارِعُوا. In this ayat, hasten in seeking the forgiveness of your Rabb. وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And seeking the Jannah, whose width is like the width of the heavens and the earth, and it has been prepared for the muttaqeen. Yani those who spend, yani when they have a lot, yani and when they have little, and who restrain their anger and pardon the people, and Allah, wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsineen. And these ayats are tremendous ayats, and the Shaykh, he closes this point by saying, فَالْمُسَابَقَ إِلَى فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ وَأَخْلَاقِهِمْ. So racing and competing with one another and doing good is from the actions of the Prophets alayhimu salam, and from the character of the Prophets, hastening and doing good. Whether it is dhikr or dua or qira'atul Qur'an, pardoning and forgiving, prayers and charity and fasting, yani all kinds of good deeds, enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, calling to Allah, giving good advice to one another, all of this and much more is from the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani encouraged us to in these ayats. And as for these last two ayats, I just want to read briefly yani concerning the tafsir of one of them, yani al-musabaqa wa sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi says, in this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani commands us to race and compete in the seeking of forgiveness of Allah and His good pleasure and His Jannah. Seeking the forgiveness of your Rabb. And that is by striving to take hold of the asbab of al-maghfirah. Yani, al-maghfirah, forgiveness, is not just achieved because you desire it. Rather, they are asbab, they are causes or reasons or means through which a person can earn the forgiveness of their Rabb. And he says, it is like a tawbah and nusuh, sincere, complete tawbah, which includes its conditions that are well known. And if they are not well known, then we need to know them. Well, istighfar and nafia, and beneficial, seeking forgiveness. And here I just want to say quickly that there is a difference between a tawbah and an istighfar. And istighfar is saying, oh Allah forgive me, oh my Rabb forgive me, Allahumma ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli. And asking Allah's forgiveness. What tawbah actually entails more than that, we know that tawbah entails the person must stop doing what they're doing. They must feel remorse for what they're doing. And they must make firm resolve not to go back to it. So tawbah is one thing and istighfar is another. And the Shaykh is saying from the asbab of earning Allah's forgiveness of sins is that a person makes sincere tawbah, or that a person seeks the forgiveness of Allah in the way that is beneficial. And the third thing he said, wal bu'd an adh-dhunub wa madaniha, and that a person remove their self from sins and the things that lead to sins. Yani the areas that cause a person to fall into sin. Yani tawbah, istighfar, and distancing oneself from the sins and that which leads to it. Wal musabaqa, and Allah has subhanahu wa ta'ala also commanded us to race with one another and compete in seeking His pleasure, meaning His Jannah, by doing righteous deeds. Number one. And two, al-hirs ala ma yarda Allah ala dawam, and being eager and diligent in doing that which earns that which Allah is pleased with, ala dawam, constantly, not sometimes, in some seasons and not in other seasons. Some of us, we do a lot of good deeds that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, and after Ramadan we forgot it all until the next Ramadan. And some of us will do good deeds in these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and then maybe until Ramadan comes we won't do any more. Rather, al-hirs, being eager in doing that which is pleasing to Allah, ala dawam, constantly and consistently. Including al-ihsan ila ibadatul khaliq. Al-ihsan fi ibadatul khaliq. Yani doing good, yani excellence in the worship of yani the Creator. Wal ihsan ila al-khalq bi jami' al-ju' al-naf'a, and also yani al-ihsan to the created beings in all of the ways that are beneficial. Meaning that the Shaykh is saying here that ihsan is divided into two divisions. Yani ihsan in the worship of Allah, how you worship Allah perfectly as though you are seeing Him. For if you see Him not, then know that He sees you. And ihsan to the created beings, that is in fulfilling the rights of the created beings and even doing yani more above and beyond charity, generosity, kindness, mercy and compassion for the created beings for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayat, yani at the end of this ayat, seek the forgiveness of your Rabb and the Jannah that was with is the heavens and the earth. He has prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. The Shaykh said, for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the actions which necessitate earning Allah's forgiveness and His Jannah. Yani, he said, "U'iddat lil-ladina amanu billahi wa rusuli." That is, yani, it has been prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. That is, having, yani, the deeds, the most important deeds that entitle a person to earn Allah's forgiveness and His Jannah is al-Iman billahi wa rusulihi, having faith in Allah and His messengers. وَيَدْخُلْ فِيهِ أُصُولُ الدِّينِ وَفُرُوعِهِ, and from this, yani that which is included in iman in Allah and His messengers is أُصُولُ الدِّينِ وَفُرُوعِ, yani that is the fundamentals, the foundations of the deen and the branches of it. All of this is included in iman billahi wa rusulihi. And finally, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir of this ayat a hadith that we must mention. لَلْجَنَّةَ أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ شِرَاقِ نَعْلِهِ وَالنَّارِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ, that the Jannah is nearer to any one of you or to every one of you than the strings of his sandal, and the hellfire is like that also. Yani, the Jannah is very near, as the shoelaces in your shoes or your sneakers are to you. And the hellfire is equally near. And the Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says that this hadith was narrated by Bukhari alone, in his Sahih. And in this hadith is a dalil of the nearness of khair and shar min al-insan. Yani, the nearness of good, how close is good and evil to the human being. And this hadith is a dalil. The nearness of Jannah and Nar to the human being is what? Due to the nearness of khair and shar. Khair is near if you just take hold of it. And shar is near if that's what you want. وَإِذَا كَانَ الْعَمْرَ كَذَلِكَ, and if the matter is like that, فَلِهَذَا حَثَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُبَادَرَةِ إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ. So if these things are so near, Allah has encouraged the worshippers to hasten, al-mubadara, al-musara, al-musabaqa, to compete with one another and hasten in doing khayrat, including fi'l al-ta'at wa tark al-muharramat, including doing acts of obedience and abandoning that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And these are the ways in which a person's sins will be forgiven and their slips and mistakes, and in which a person will earn Allah's reward and darajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, Wallahu musta'an. And after the adhan, inshallah, we're going to have to take a couple of minutes because we do want to complete. And the second characteristic of the prophets that the Shaykh Hafidhullah mentioned, وَفَاءُهُمْ عَلَيْهُمُ السَّلَامُ بِالْوَعْدِ. Yani they're fulfilling their promise, keeping promises. Tremendous, tremendous characteristics of the prophets. Every one of us have to look at ourselves. And just imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day, for sure, just think about it, reflect upon it, that He's going to call us to account for our deeds. And from amongst the things that He's going to call us to account for are the promises that we make, the covenants that we make, the agreements that we make, that we do or don't fulfill. Naam. From the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, alayhi wasalam, is that they used to fulfill their promise. They used to keep their covenants, their agreements. From the characteristics of the prophets, alayhi wasalam, that they were the most strict in keeping their promise. If they made a covenant, or if they made a promise. And the ahd, the covenant, is of two types. Al-ahd ma'allah wal-ahd ma'al-nas. The covenant, the agreement that a person makes with Allah, and the covenant or agreement that a person makes with the people. Both of them must be fulfilled. Of course, the most important covenant is the covenant with Allah. Wal-anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam awfa an-nas bil-ahd. They are the best in fulfilling their covenant. And here the Shaykh, he mentions this tremendous ayat, and it requires tafsir, but we probably don't have time for the tafsir. Wallahu musta'an. In any case, I say to you, please go back to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. It is translated. If you don't have the ability to read the Arabic, go and read the translation. Read the tafsir of these ayats, every one of them. It's incumbent, if you want to understand this topic, to read the tafsir of the ayats, that which we mentioned and that which we left out. And if you have the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, I don't know what it goes up to now, what they have translated, but if you have it, go back. His tafsir is tremendous, magnificent. It is wonderful. And this ayat is from amongst those ayat that requires some tafsir. The saying of Allah in Surah Ali Imran, third surah, 81st ayat. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. And remember when Allah had taken the covenant, the mithaq of the prophets, a covenant, a promise, an agreement that He held with the prophets and messengers. لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ. That no matter what I have given you of the book and the wisdom, yani what He has given to prophets and messengers, in spite of whatever I have given you of prophethood and messengership and revelation and the high status, the rank that you have been given because of that, this is the covenant that Allah has taken with the prophets and messengers. ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ, whatever status that you have and whatever you have been given. ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. And then there came to you a messenger who confirms that which is with you. لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ. Then you must believe in him. This messenger is Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you must believe in him and you must support and help him. قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ أَسْرِي. Do you agree? Do you accept? And will you place this covenant also, my covenant with you, upon your ummah, your followers also? Meaning the followers of Musa and Isa, they also, Allah has taken the covenant from their prophets that they must also do so. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, confirming that which was with them, they must, the prophets, the messengers and their followers, their ummah, must believe in him and must support and help him. قَالَ, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ أَصْرِي. Do you agree? Do you accept? And accept this covenant of mine to be upon you and your ummah. قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا. They said, we agree, we accept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Then bear witness to this covenant, and I am with you also of those who bear witness. Yani a covenant that Allah has taken from the prophets and messengers upon them and their ummah, umam, and an agreement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to bear witness to against themselves and their umam, and Allah is also amongst the witnesses to this. And what is this covenant? That if and when the Prophet ﷺ came, that they must believe in him and support him. The Shaykh says, Wallahu musta'an, the tafsir of this ayat is tremendous. Naam, I'm saying that. Naam. Allahu musta'an. But time. The Shaykh says, أخذ الله عليهم بهذا الأحد أنه إذا بعث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأحد منهم حي أن يتبعه فالتزموا بذلك ووفوا بما أحدوا عليهم الصلاة والسلام. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this covenant. Yani he has made this covenant with the prophets and messengers, that if the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is raised up and sent and missioned, and any one of them, the prophets and messengers, and likewise their ummah, is living, they must follow him. And they adhered to this strictly, and they fulfilled this covenant, alayhimu salatu wassalam. And they fulfilled it, naam. And they made the covenant with their followers, and commanded them also to fulfill it, that whoever is living in that time, and therefore whoever is living in that time and they do not believe in and support the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are from the fasiqun, entitled to the hellfire. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Iman, and it's a lengthy hadith, he said that I swear by the one in whose life is my soul, that whoever hears about me and that which I have been sent with from amongst the Ahlul Kitab, meaning the Christians and Jews specifically, and does not believe in it and dies in that condition, they are guaranteed a seat in the hellfire. Whoever says something different is ignorant. Whoever from amongst Ahlul Kitab hears about the Prophet Muhammad and that which he has been sent with and dies without believing in it, they are guaranteed a seat in the hellfire. There is no discussion. The matter is clear. The Shaykh goes on to say, this is the covenant with Allah. أَمَّا مَعَ النَّاسِ فَكَانُوا أَوْفَ النَّاسِ بِالْأَحْدِ. And this is the covenant with Allah, but as for the covenant with the people, they were also the best in keeping the covenant or agreements with the people. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Ismail alayhi salam. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Ismail alayhi salam in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 54th Ayat. فَقَالَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولَ النَّبِيَّ. That indeed he was truthful in keeping the promise. وَكَانَ رَسُولَ النَّبِيَّ. And he was a messenger and a prophet. He was a messenger and a prophet. And there's a lot of tafsir concerning this also, which Allahu musta'an. I'll just try to be extremely brief in saying that it is reported in a hadith in Abu Dawud in his Sunan, and a similar narration. The narration in Abu Dawud and his Sunan is about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about a man who he promised to meet him, and made an appointment with him to meet him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to that particular place to meet him, and the man didn't come. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the man finally came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I've been waiting for you for 3 days." The man said that he forgot. The Prophet ﷺ said, "You have made a hardship on me. I have been here for 3 days waiting for you." And it has also been narrated in some of the books of narrations about Ismail alayhi salam, that likewise, that he also had made a promise to meet somebody, and that person forgot, and he waited, and he didn't leave until they came. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. I don't know what time is the Iqamah, but we have at least 15 minutes, I know that. It's 15 minutes to 9, so maybe we have 15 minutes or maybe a few more. Inshallah, we'll take these 15 minutes just to complete this topic of great importance, and I won't extend it beyond the bare minimum. The Shaykh, he says, after mentioning Ismail alayhi salam and him being truthful and keeping the promise, commitment, agreement, contract, and he is an example, the prophets are our example, to be taken as a model, to be followed. He said, فَنَسْتَفِيدُ مِنْ هَذَا عَظِيمُ شَعْنِ الْوَفَاءِ بِالْوَعْدِ. And from this we understand the magnificence, the greatness of the affair of fulfilling a promise. How important it is. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he made breaking the promise from the characteristics of the munafiqeen. Breaking promise is from the characteristics of the munafiqeen. You make a contract, you make a covenant, you make an agreement, you make a promise. Breaking it, not fulfilling it, is from the sifat al-munafiqeen. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا خَالِصًا That there are four characteristics. Whoever has them, يعني he is a pure hypocrite. And the Shaykh, he skips the mention of those four things, and he mentions one of them, and we'll mention them. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Man, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ يعني when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ And if he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. وَإِذَا أَحَدَ غَدَرَ And if he makes a covenant or agreement, he's entrusted with something, he betrays it, he violates it. وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجْرَ And if he disputes with somebody, he uses obscene speech. And he cusses and swears and shouts and screams and talks filthily. The Shaykh says, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَلَّةٌ On another narration, يعني خَصْلَةٌ Whoever has one of these characteristics, مِنْهُنَّ One of these characteristics, كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَلَّةٌ أو خَصْلَةٌ مِنْ نِفَاقٍ So whoever has one of these characteristics, he has a characteristic of hypocrisy, حَتَّى يَضَعَهَا Until he gives it up, until he gives it up. وَذَكَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ And from amongst those characteristics, إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ When he makes a promise, a commitment, an agreement, a covenant, a contract, he violates it. He violates it. In light of this, it is incumbent فَيَنْبَغِي أَن يَكُونَ الْمُسْلِمْ عَامَةً وَطَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ بِخَاصَةٍ So for this reason, it is incumbent, it is befitting of the Muslims in general, every single Muslim, and especially the Talib al-Ilm. And every one of us, inshallah, is a Talib al-Ilm. We are not here seeking dunya, we are seeking ilm. Especially the Talib al-Ilm. It is incumbent, it is befitting, and that they be the furthest of people from these evil characteristics. That we distance ourselves from such characteristics, especially the breaking of promises. The violation of agreements. وَأَنْ يَكُنْ مِثَالًا يُحْدَثَ فِي الْوَفَى بِالْأَحْدِ And that we should be examples of those who fulfill promises. And people should look at us and say, wow, those Muslims are something. That brother, that sister, mashallah, they make a promise, they keep it. And the mushriks from the nation of Kufr, the mushriks, they're mushriks, na'am. Some of us were from them. May Allah save us from our evil of the past. They used to say, word is bond, and bond is life. These are mushriks. Say, our word is bond, and bond is life. And we are Muslims. Yani people of Tawheed, people of Sunnah. And we make promises and we don't keep them. We make agreements, we don't fulfill them. We make covenants and we don't keep them. We make contracts that we don't fulfill. Even if the contract is with a kafir, even if it's with the telephone company or the people that you're renting your place from. Agreements must be fulfilled. Violation of promises, not keeping promises, breaking promises from the characteristics of the hypocrites. Rather, we should be examples of those who fulfill promises. Wal-ajib, and the amazing thing is al-jahiliyin, the people in jahiliyyah. And I'll just mention some of them. They're in jahiliyyah from our time, right? Nation of kufr. The people of jahiliyyah, they used to consider breaking a promise min al-zaim al-umur. Of the worst, the most evil, the most horrible of affairs that a person breaks a promise. This is people in Jahiliyyah. قال عوف ابن نعمان وكان في الجاهلية جهلاء يعني in the time of Jahiliyyah, the ignorant ones. أن يموت الرجل عطشا خير له من أن يكون مخلافا للموعد. They used to consider that a person die from thirst. And he's standing on the desert waiting to meet somebody he made a promise to meet. dying from thirst was better for him than that he break his promise, that he doesn't keep an appointment, an agreement that he has made. وَمَا الْآثَارُ فِي ذَمْ إِخْلَافِ الْوَعْدِ فَكِثِيرًا. And as far as the athar, the narrations that came from the Salaf and the people of the past concerning the blameworthiness of breaking promises, then they are many. And the Shaykh mentions five of them. The first one, that which is reported from Sulaiman ibn Dawood alayhimussalam, may Allah peace be upon both of them. Sulaiman, the son of Dawood, annahu qala li ibnin lahu, yani Sulaiman said to one of his sons, ya bunayya idha wa'adta fala tukhlif fatastabdil bil mawaddati bughda. Oh my dear son, if you make a promise, do not break it, and thereby exchanging love for hatred. Yani the people who used to love you, they will begin to hate you. وَقَالَ عَبْدُ ibn أَحْمَدِ ibn حَنْبَلْ. And Abdullah, the son of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the imam of the people of Sunnah, rahimahullah, his son said, حَدَّثَنِي Harun ibn Sufyan al-Mustamli. Yani that Harun ibn Sufyan al-Mustamli narrated to me, he said, قُلْتُ لِأَبِيكَ أَحْمَدِ ibn حَنْبَلْ. I said to your father, yani the son of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, a man is narrating to him that I said to your father, كَيْفَ تَعْرِفُ الْكَذَّبِينَ. How do you know the liars? How do you know who are the liars? Ya Imam Ahmed, how do you know the liars? So that you don't narrate from them. He said, بِمَوَاعِدِهِمْ. Simple. By their promises. They don't keep them. By their promises. That makes you a what? A كَذَّب. A real major liar. And they used to, the Salaf, they used to avoid at every course promises, making promises, for fear that they might break them. They used to avoid making promises for fear that they might break them. وَقَالَ مُحَمَّدِ ibn Idris al-Hanzali, قُلْتُ لِقُبَيْسَ. I said to Qubaysa, Nani Muhammad ibn Idris said, I said to Qubaysa, تَعِدُنِي, will you promise me? فَقَالَ Qubaysa said to him, إِذَا جِئْتَنِي فَرَأَيْتَنِي لَقِيْتَنِي. إِذَا جِئْتَنِي, if you came and you saw me, then you found me. And I'm not making a promise. But if you came and you found me, all well and good. لَقِيْتَنِي, you will meet me. But as for making promises, no. And the Shaykh, he mentions after this, وَمِنْ جَمِيلْ مَا قِيلَ فِي مَوْعِدْ مِنَ الشِّعْرِ. And that, some of the beautiful sayings that have been related concerning keeping promises or commitments or appointments from the poetry. And I'm not good at poetry, but anyway, the meaning of it is, إِذَا قُلْتَ فِي شَيْءٍ نَعَمْ فَأَتَمَّهُ فَإِنَّ نَعَمْ دَيْنٌ عَلَى حَرِّ وَاجِبُ وَإِلَّا فَقُلْ لَا وَاسْتَرِي وَأَرِيه بِهَا لِأَلَّا يَقُولُ النَّاسُ إِنَّكَ كَاذِبُ. يعني, if you said to anything, yes, يعني you agree that you would do it, then you must do it, complete it. For indeed, saying yes is a debt. Once you agree, you indebted for the free man. If he says yes, then he's indebted to fulfill it. Wajibu. It's a debt that is obligatory. Otherwise, then say no and rest and put the people also to rest. Just say no. Don't agree if you're not going to keep it. لِأَلَّا يَكُولُ النَّاسِ, so that the people will not say that you are a liar. And if you say yes, do it. Otherwise, just say no. Rest yourself and rest the people, so the people will not say you lie. And finally, the Shaykh says, and we close with this: وقول الآخر إذا اجتمع الآفات فالبخل شرها وشر من البخل المواعد المطل فلا خير في قول إذا كان كاذبا ولا خير في قول إذا لم يكن فعلا. يعني when you collect together the آفات, يعني the defects and shortcomings of the people, فالبخل, being stingy, is the most evil of them. But more evil than being stingy is making promises and then postponing it, delaying it, holding it off. For there is no khair in a word, a qawl, if it is a lie. There is no benefit in saying something that is not true. وَلَا خَيْر فِي الْقَوْلِ. And there is no khair in a statement if you didn't do it. And may Allah make us of those who fulfill their promises, commitments, and covenants. And may Allah protect us from treachery and the others who break their promises. And may Allah grant us goodness in speech and in action, and that we'll be successful in following the characteristics, the morals of the Prophets and Messengers, alayhi wasalam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, we have a couple of minutes. If there's a question concerning what we talked about tonight, something that's not clear, preferably, if there's something that's not clear, then we can take it. Otherwise, inshallah, we stop here and put you to rest also. Any question? Any question? Hey, brothers and sisters, I say to myself first, and to each and every one of us, just as a reminder, that the time is upon us. We are in the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And as we mentioned earlier in the beginning of this session, that this is a time in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are no days in the whole of the year in which good deeds done in them, in those days, are more beloved to Allah than good deeds done in these days. There are no days in the whole year, in which good deeds done in them are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than good deeds done in these days. Whatever you want to do of good, whether it's voluntary prayers, obligatory prayers, charity or fasting, whether it's dhikr of Allah or dua, reading the Quran, enjoining the good, forbidding the wrong, calling to tawheed, yani encouraging people, inspiring people, saying a kind word that is charity, a smile, whatever it is that we have the ability to do, whether it's fasting or other than that. In these days, fasting is highly recommended because of the magnificence of the worship, the active worship of fasting. But charity is also, yani, highly praiseworthy. And dhikr and dua and takbir in these days, saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Astaghfirullah, making salah and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these things, yani, are recommended, are commendable, are praiseworthy. We are encouraged to take advantage of these days and nights, day and night. May Allah grant us success, yani, to not let these days pass us by, to not delay, and to perform them in the best manner possible. Don't let this opportunity pass us by. I, first and foremost, yani, I'm in need. I think that perhaps some of you are also in need. We don't know if we will see tomorrow. Yani, be hasty, yani, in doing good. Don't be hasty in doing evil. Hold yourself back from doing evil and, yani, push yourself, prompt yourself, encourage yourself, and ask Allah success in doing good in these days and in the days that follow them and in the days that remain until that which is certain overcomes us. That is death. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.